All right. All right, I got one more story right before I preach. And I thought this was kind of cute. I hope you like it. If you don't blame me. It's not mine. I copied it. But the top 10 reasons why God had to create Eve. If you're a theologian, you want to write these down. This is like a Bible study right now. You know, why did God create Eve? Well, number 10, God was worried that Adam would frequently become lost in the garden and be too proud to ask for directions. Number 9, God knew that one day Adam would require someone to locate and to hand him the remote control for the television. So God said, I've got to create Eve. Number 8, they get worse. God knew Adam would never go out and buy himself a new fig leaf when his wore out and would therefore need Eve to buy him one. Aren't you going to change that shirt? Number 7, God knew Adam would never be able to make a doctor, dentist, or a haircut appointment for himself. So God had to create Eve. Top 10 reasons why Eve was created. Number 6, God knew Adam would never remember which night to put the garbage out on the curb. How many of you guys ever hear that from your wife? Honey, did you take the garbage down? Tomorrow's garbage day. Number 4, as the keeper of the garden, since he didn't have metal sheds or greenhouses, Adam would never remember where he put his tools. So God said, I had to create Eve for you. Number 3, apparently Adam needed someone to blame his troubles on when God caught him hiding in the garden. So God knew that he was going to need somebody to blame. All right, number 2, as the Bible says, it's not good for man to be alone. And number 1 reason why God created Eve for Adam. Are you ready? Number 1 reason, when God finished the creation of Adam, he stepped back, scratched his head and said, man, I could do a whole lot better than that. Come on, girls, right? Come on, ladies. Oh, I thought that was a good one. You know, I'm so glad I was born as a man. You know, I was talking to a couple of young mothers this morning, and one was telling me, I've got 2 kids, and the other one, I've got 3, and the other one said, I've got 3 as well. And my last one, I was supposed to have twins, and then they said, no, there's only 1 there. She said, thank God it wasn't twins. I can't keep up with the 3. I was just listening to them, and I was getting tired, just hearing them. So, ladies, I have great respect for you. You are amazing, and I really say that from a sincere heart. Thank God that God gives us women, because they really do help us find the remote, take the garbage down. You know, they are more than that. They are those that endure. And God knew this, that if God didn't give Adam Eve, there would be no babies on the earth, because you and I, guys, we would never go through what they go through, right? I mean, that's a suffering and a pain that a man could never endure. This morning, I want to share with you a message about the word afterward. Afterward. You know, as I was reading the Bible, it jumped out of these pages, and God really spoke to me, and he said, the afterward is very, very critical to your life. And I saw in John 13 and 7, Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. And in that particular verse, Peter said, Lord, you can't wash my feet. You know, that's not right. And Jesus said, if I don't wash all of you, you can be no part of that. And Jesus said this in verse 7 in the context of that story, which is very important. And I want you to get this and read that, if you would like, with me. It says, Jesus answered and he said to him, you can read it with me, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. You know, when I read that, I thought, God, that answers it. There is so much that happens in my life that I don't understand. And have you ever had a circumstance, a situation, people, you know, occurrences that take place, and you think, God, what is going on? That's the verse. Jesus said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And I want you to know that something is coming to your tomorrow that will change your future. You have to believe, regardless of how difficult life is, that there is always hope on the way. That God says you may not understand what's going on now, but in the afterward, you're going to sit back and say, had it not been for the Lord, He's always on time. He always gives us what we need when we need it. How many know that to be true in your life? I have known that to be true. And when God is at work in your life, we often have no clue as to the why. God, what's the purpose of this? The hereafter or the afterward, it's easy to lose sight of that when you're in the midst of the trial. When you're in the midst of the trouble. When you're in the midst of the know not now. God, I know not now why I'm going through this. God, I know not now why my marriage is in trouble. God, I know not why that I've lost my job. But God, I know not now why this situation has occurred with my best friend. And now our relationship is ruined. God, I don't understand. We lose sight of the afterward when we're in the middle of the trouble or trial because it becomes so big. It looms so large. But if we can focus on what God is bringing to us, we will understand where we are today. You see, the present is dark, it's obscure, but the future makes it plain and makes it clear. It is in the afterward. I like Hebrews 12. Verse 11, if you can put that up on the screen. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Of course it is. Nevertheless, afterward, here it is again, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, right now, God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? This is not fun. This is not joyful. I would rather be any other place in my life. I can't believe that my heart hurts the way it does. God, this is the most horrible situation that I could have ever expected. And all of us have been there in those times once before or maybe many times. But notice this, it says afterward. You know what that tells me? That joy comes in the morning. You know what that tells me? That after the storm, things clear out and the sun brightens your day again. Afterward means where you are right now is not going to remain there forever. You are passing through, you are going through, and there is a brighter hope and a future for you that's in your tomorrow. Why? Because God's already there. God's already working on your and my tomorrow. We've got to believe that no matter what we're going through, we have to focus on the fact that we're going through. Come on, say it with me. Going through. Why? Because I'm headed toward the land of the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's God's promise to me. That's God's word to me. So I'm going to stand on that promise. 1 Corinthians 13:12. What a great scripture. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Notice, for now, we see through a glass darkly, a mirror dimly. For now, I can't see what's going on. But then, face to face. I might be in my now, but there is a then that I'm about to enter into. And my now is dark and dim, but my then is going to be clear and bright, and I'm going to see face to face what God was doing in my life. Watch this. He said, now I know in part. Now I know in part. Now I can't figure it out. Now I just have clues and pieces of what's going on in my life. But then I shall know just as I also am known. Now I have a peace. Then I'm going to have the whole puzzle. It's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to maturity. How many know that in life, when you go through struggles and trials, prior to the answer, prior to the recovery, you thought you'd never make it. But on the other side of it, you can lift your hands in praise and thank God that He is good to you all the time. Amen. And you say, I knew God was going to bring me through. That's because you're in the then. And some of us came to church in the now, and you're hoping for the then. But all you then people, look over at some now people and say it's going to be all right because God's in control. And I know that I was where you are, and you are going to be where I'm at right now. Our now is often cloudy and obscure, but our then is pregnant with promise. There's a then on your way. There's a afterward coming to your life. You have to believe that. You've got to tell yourself that when it's dark and obscure and dimly lit around you. You've got to tell yourself to remain focused on the promises of God that He is going to bring to me exactly what I have need of. Listen to the New Living Translation of the same verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 12. It reads like this, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely." There's a difference between the now and between the then. And I can testify to you over 40 years of ministry, there were times in my life I thought I was locked in on the now. I thought I was going to stay permanently in the obscure and in the dark, and there was no way out. But I can testify that God's faithfulness introduced me to the then, where I only had part of the information. I came through it, and now I know completely what God was trying to do. He was working for my good. Come on, look at two people and say, "God's working for your good." You've got to believe that. God's working for my good. God's already into my tomorrow. And my tomorrow is going to be brighter than it is today. Don't you lose hope. Don't you lose hope. You keep your focus on the hope that God has given us. Listen to this. This present darkness must yield to the tomorrow's dawning. Present darkness has to yield to tomorrow's dawning. Because my tomorrow makes clear and plain the heavy and dark clouds of my today. And when I'm in the heaviness and darkness of today, you know what I lean on? Trust. I lean on trust. Because I know my God is faithful. And I'm going to trust in the Lord and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. Why? Because I know that God is in my tomorrow. He is going to reveal to me what I have need of. He did not save me. He did not redeem me to leave me in the dark. God did not save me, choose me. God did not fill me with the Holy Spirit to leave me in a place of obscurity and pain and sorrow. I may be going through this time, but let me tell you something. You're going to see me on the other side. And there will be a time where joy will come back to my life and I will be singing the praises of God. Well, why wait for then? I might as well praise Him right now. In the midst of all my tears, my tomorrow is going to bring clarity to my today. I want to prophesy to someone today. I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this. He said this, "After your present storm is over, the sun is going to shine brighter. The grass will be very much greener. And the flowers will be so much sweeter. Your life will be more beautiful on the other side of for now." I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit sent me here today to tell you that God's got something great planned for your tomorrow, no matter where you are today. Please do me a favor. Don't do like a lot of people do. Do not believe your tomorrow will be the same as it's been today. I don't care how long you've been in this darkness. Don't fall into the trap to believe that there is no way out. Come on, God always makes a way where there is no way. And I'm going to believe that tomorrow is going to be a greater day. Amen? It's going to be a greater day. Today's tears are nothing but God's lens for you and I to see a different perspective about our future. Don't allow your tears to somehow obstruct your perspective of kingly sight. I use my tear as God's lens to help me see into the future of His promise and His provision. There are times we're going to have tears in our life, but we could either allow them to suffocate us in our pain and become regretful and angry and remorseful, or we can allow them to give us a new perspective on the promises of God and say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. And I believe that tomorrow is going to be the then day that I've been looking for. You see, we have to see into the clear heavens. We have to behold the kindness and the radiance of God's face and His goodness. I cannot allow my present sorrow or current situation to become so overwhelming that I can't see Him. If I can't see Him in my darkness or in my trouble, if I lose sight of God because of the circumstance I'm in trouble. But oh, let me tell you something. I might be in a storm and the waves may be crashing all around me. There may be dark clouds billowing all above me. There may be shark-infested waters all around me. Everybody may have given up on me, but God's face is like the buoy thrown to me in the midst of a storm. And if I'll just latch on to it, the current of that storm will bring me into a place of safety. Don't lose sight of God's face. Press in those moments when you are feeling as though that everyone has abandoned you. It is our ignorance and limited knowledge that often causes the obscurity of our present. Because we're ignorant. But when you put your hope in God, all things become bright and beautiful. The psalmist asks this question, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Have you ever had to talk to your soul? Folk, if you haven't, you need to learn how to talk to your soul. Soul, why are you downcast this morning? Put your hope in God. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes you got to get your preach on. And you got to preach to your own soul. Don't look for a preacher to preach. You get in the bathroom and preach to your own soul. That's what David did. You know, we have learned the mere rudiments. We can't understand the more advanced and the more obscure things. And so we give up. We quit. Because we don't understand. Because we're ignorant. We think it's never going to change. It's sort of like the student. On the first day of school, the teacher gave him a Greek book and asked him to read from the page of which she handed him. It looked like hieroglyphics to him. He couldn't make out anything. He tried to read it, and it made no sense. He closed the book and handed it back and said, I can't make any sense of it. I cannot read it. And she said, that's because you're ignorant. But I'm going to change that. It wasn't long on graduation day. He had long forgot with all of the hours of study of the Greek alphabet and practicing, dissecting the original Greek language, that his teacher came to him on graduation and said, excuse me, I want you to read this book. He took the book and suddenly he remembered. The memory came back to him. That was the book that she gave him on the first day of class. He took that book and opened it and began to read it. It was the book of John, chapter 1, in its original Greek form. He read it with fluency. He began to weep as he got the revelation of God Himself became flesh and dwelt among men. He closed the book and gave it back to this teacher and said, "Thank you for teaching me that which I did not know." Let me tell you something, in the darkness and times of trial, often it's because of our ignorance. There's something we don't yet know about God that God is about to teach us. And even though we go through hardship and we go through trial, riper knowledge will clear the way, all the mystery. It will unlock precious treasure. And that which made no sense to you when you came into the trial will suddenly become a blessing and revelation and understanding of how good God has been to your life. Come on, praise Him right there. God is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Father. The book of God's providence is written in a language we often cannot understand at first. Psalm 139 and 16 says God has written a book about all of our lives. But try to read it. It is like that Greek student who couldn't understand a word. But somehow, day after day of trusting in the Lord, applying yourself, staying in faith, holding on to the promises of God, not quitting, not giving up, believing that God is good in spite of the bad around you, it begins to mature you. It begins to grow you. And now that which you could not accomplish, because now you've learned how good God is, you can take the very same trial and look at it and say, "You must come under my feet, because now I know that my God is able." You see, we have to apply ourselves, and the painful mysteries pass away. My grandson, Jeremiah, introduced me to a great movie with Denzel Washington titled Fences. If you've not watched it, I encourage you to get the movie. As we watched it, it plays out simply as a young African-American man who missed his opportunity to play professional baseball because of racial prejudice, missed opportunity, living a life of regret, feeling like now the chip is on his shoulder. He becomes very hardened to life. He now is a man that works in the sanitation of a large city. Couldn't read and couldn't write. Provided for his family, did time in the penitentiary. I won't tell you the whole story, but I want to say this. His son, Corey, he was so hard on him. He was so uncaring and calloused. And later, after he died, Corey didn't even want to go to his funeral. It was at that point my emotions overcame me. And I so related to my relationship with my father, who was calloused and hard, unloving, and didn't touch me as if I felt where I needed to be touched. I began to weep. My tears began to roll down my eyes. And as people were clanging dishes and they were talking, I had to quiet them. "Please stop, stop. I must hear every word." Because something was happening in me. And there was a day in my life when I felt like the Father's love was something that I would never experience. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it matters not what you've lacked in the life that you're living, what you didn't get that you thought you deserved, or what retribution you should have had for the injustice that was shown to your life. God is watching your life. And I found that in the midst of all of my pain, the Father in heaven, Abba Father, our Daddy God, revealed His love for me and His acceptance for me way beyond anything that I could have ever had from my earthly father. But I know this, and I'm trying to relay to you today that God will meet your need regardless of who failed in meeting that need. Don't allow that failure to rule you. Don't allow that failure, like Denzel's character, to live through you and impact everyone around you negatively. But surrender yourself as a student of the Word of God and let God massage your sorrow and your pain and lift your hands in the midst of it and say, Father, I trust You and I believe You are a good God. We have to view life through the lens of our tears at times. And other times we have to view our life through the lens of it's finished. Jesus hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and He declared, it is finished. He completed it. It's already done. And I believe that if I can look at my tomorrow with the lens of it is finished, it removes all the wondering, it removes all the doubt, it removes all the what ifs. Do you ever live life with what if it doesn't happen? What if they don't come through? What if I don't get the raise? What if they don't call for the new job? That's a tormenting way to live. But if you can put on the lens of heaven that's titled, it is finished, you will already see, regardless of your circumstance, that God has already worked it out for you. That God has already made provision. That God has that job waiting on you. That God will bring that spouse into your life. That God will turn your child around. That God will meet every need that you have. That God will heal your body because it is finished. It minimizes the uncertainty of the present circumstance I'm facing. Devil, I just need you to know right now it's finished. Yeah, but you know what's happening around? It's finished. But you know that they already declined your appeal? It's finished. No, I can't be dictated by what people do and don't do. No. You can't change my mind, for it is written, it is finished. And if God be for me, come on now, who can be against me? I got to believe that God is able. He is able. Sort of like the sculptor's block. It seems to be punished in the present. With every chisel and hammer applied, our eye sees no present beauty. The sculptor continues to pound, continues to hammer. Pieces are flying away. It appears as though that block of granite is now being ruined. Relentlessly, with every painful blow. But if you can see your future through the lens of it is finished, you'll get the perspective of the sculptor, because he already sees Michelangelo. He already sees David. He already sees the beautiful display of the eagle in flight. He already sees the finished product, because it's already finished. It has to be finished in order for him to create it. And God always sees the finish. Our problem is we focus more on the chisel and the hammer. And I've got to get my eyes off the chisel and the hammer. I've got to see it through the finished lens. Construction sites are exciting to me, often filled with material, debris, piles of dirt, columns of confusion. Doesn't look like much. But afterwards, we find a structure of nobility that's majestic, just as the architect saw it. He saw it. She saw it when she drew it. When she made the blueprint and handed it to the contractor and said, "This is the building." Sometimes you know what they have to do? They have to create models of what the architect sees. You know why? Because the average person can't see it on the blueprint. It's just a bunch of lines. You can't envision it. But if they can build a small version of what it's going to look like, you'll stand there in amazement and think, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing." Can I tell you, the architect of your faith, Jesus, already sees you victorious. He already sees you joy-filled. He already sees you prosperous. He already sees you healed. God, give me a vision of the finish. Give me a vision of the afterward to help me find that structure of nobility and majesty. Just the way you see it, God. Just the way you drew it, help me to see it. You know, God has that blueprint, Psalm 139, 16. The marble might complain of every stroke, which only seemed to cut away. The marble may look back, the granite may look back and say, "Stop! Not one more blow!" But the sculptor is relentless. Regardless of the resistance, his eye is on the prize. His eye is on the finished product. And he who has begun a good work in you, you can stop your complaining and your whining and your crying, because just like that sculptor, the sculptor's not listening to the marble complaining about every blow and every chisel piece and every turn and every twist, because he already sees where it's going. And sometimes we think, "God, don't you know what I'm going through?" And God said, "What did you say? What did you say?" You said, "Preacher, are you trying to tell me God pounds you? God purposely hurts you?" No, that's not what I'm saying. But God's at work in you. He's at work in you. Look at somebody and say, "He's at work in you." Come on. You have to understand, he's at work in you. He said, "But you're wasting my substance. But when the statue stands forth, the marvel and admiration of all eyes, the marble, the granite, complain no longer." Some of you and I, we are going to stop complaining because God's going to finish what he sees in you. And when it's done, let me just give you a hint. You're going to be embarrassed for all your whining and crying. You might as well just stop it right now. Take out a hanky, wipe them tears, and start praising him right now. Save yourself a little embarrassment, because God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? How many believe that to be true? I believe that to be true. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:18, one of my life verses in the Bible. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed," watch, "into the same image from glory to glory." You could say from chisel and hammer, "just as by the Spirit of the Lord." I've told you this story before. It's probably 20 years ago now. I was sitting in a meeting with Bishop T.D. Jakes. He was preaching on the husbandman's knife and how he must come and cut away that which he loves, for he sees more fruitfulness. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you're the branch, I'm just as fruitful as I need to be, thank you. And he talked about it as only Bishop can. how he would take his sharp instrument and begin to take away what seemed to be the most productive branch on the entire vine. And as he pressed through the bark and sliced it off the vine stood there thinking, I have no future and I have no hope. It was at that moment I began to weep because I felt as though what I was personally going through was like that vine. I was being cut and stripped. And he looked over at me and he said, you, sir. And he began to prophesy that God would bring more fruit into my life if I'll just trust him with the pruning that's taking place right now. I raised my hand. I said, excuse me, sir, Bishop, can I bypass the pruning and just get a little more fruitfulness? As only Bishop could. He just shook his head. No, son, that's not the way it works. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're feeling cut back and pruned, if you feel as though that you're more on the losing end than you are on the winning end, just understand that God sees greater fruitfulness in your future. And you have to trust him. You and I have to trust him. As many of our finest branches are cut away, we also begin to fear when sensing the Father's pruning. The end result of the vine, it once again hangs laden with purple clusters. Its cry of complaint and pain gives way to a song of thanksgiving and joy. Why? Because it sees God was right all the time. On the afterward, you're going to sit here and say, God was right all the time. God was right in his design for my life. He saw the building like an architect sees. He knows my future like the sculptor sees into the granite. God may be pruning, but God has a plan for your fruitfulness in your future. The scripture says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's a great little poem I found. It reads like this. Now the pruning, sharp, unsparing, scattered blossom, bleeding shoot, but afterward, the plenteous bearing of the master's precious and pleasant fruit. And God, I will endure whatever trial, whatever dark place I walk through, knowing that on the other side, the master's precious and pleasant fruit will be in abundance in my life. Because God is not into the destruction of life. God is into the construction of life. And sometimes you have to tear out to build up. T and I just recently remodeled a mobile home of which we live in Florida. I paid a contractor to redo the plumbing in this kitchen. All new plumbing underneath, new sink, because the old was not functional. About 3 weeks later, I see water all over the floor. I'm like, what's going on? And I called him. I said, hey, this sink is leaking. Oh, I don't know, maybe we didn't tighten something. I said, I paid you to tighten it. I'm like, I paid you to tighten it. Or you charged me to tighten it. He comes out, he tightens it up, he should be good now. He says, the vibration of the garbage disposal. I said, well, you knew garbage disposals vibrate, right? I paid you to know that, right? Anyway, about 3 weeks later, water all over the floor again. So I called him, I said, something's not right, we need to fix this. Well, we installed it, we're not doing it again. So I called another plumber. And I called the plumber, and it's the same franchise we use up here, so we have a history with them. And they came on, they looked at it, and they said, who put this in for you? And I told him, he said, well, this is absolutely wrong. There's nothing right about this installation. Notice, see your drain pipe? it's higher than your sink. So the water's never going to drain. It's going to all back up. And he said, they don't have a P-trap or whatever you call those things underneath your garbage disposal. So that's going to, water's going back in. It's going to eventually rust out. And it's never going to drain. As a matter of fact, he said, if I'm going to open this up right now, I'll show you that you probably have food and all kinds of. I said, well, all right. So I started taking pictures as he's tearing it out. I said, how much have to come out? He said, it all has to come out. I said, all has to come out? He goes, yeah, all the way to the drain. Where's the drain? I said, it's in the wall. He said, we need to tear that wall out. I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I got to tear everything out under this sink after we just paid to put it in order to get it to work right? He said, well, that's up to you. Do you want it to work right? I said, yeah. He said, well, I can do it. I said, how much? He said, $1,200. I said, $1,200, like $1,200. So he came over the next couple of days, and he started tearing out everything. And he's saving me pieces of where food's in there. He said, you see, and it's the wrong kind of pipe. And then I said, all right, you convinced me. A whole thing, Tara. I have never taken apart a Lazy Susan in my life. I don't know anything about a Lazy Susan other than it spins. He said, you got to take that out. I said, I don't want to take that out. He said, well, I'll take it out for you. I said, how much? He said, you don't want to know. I said, I'll take it out. Problem isn't taking it out. It's getting it back in because it seems bigger than the hole. Just one thing after another. But I learned something. And where this message, part of it was birthed. If you want it to work right, sometime God has to tear it all out. You say, how much does that cost? $1,200. Come on, it's not cheap and it's not free. But when it's done, it's going to work right. When it's done, you're going to be happy. You're going to have peace of mind. And I'm going to tell you right now, after he finished, he turned the water on. He said, you see how fast that water's going down that drain? I said, man, I ain't never seen water go down a drain that fast before. He said, that's because it's done right. The other day, I was getting some water out of the sink, and I'd seen it going. I said, boy, my water goes down my sink like nobody else's. Who cares? You don't care when it's done right. Some of us just need to say, Holy Spirit, whatever you have to do, you tear it out. You cut it back. You give me the design plan. There may be debris everywhere in my life right now. There may be nonsense and mess. There might be all kinds of problems, but Father, I know this. There's somebody. You know how to fix this. And all I got to do is call. When I called that plumber and he looked at it, he said, this is a mess. He said, but I can fix it. But it's going to cost you. Listen, I want to know something. You want to keep living with a leaky faucet, with a mess in your life, with backup and rusted pipes and all kinds of problems? Or do you want God to say, I come in and fix this? And you know what it'll cost us? Your trust, your obedience. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, come. You come in and tear out whatever you don't think is working right. I'm going to believe that you're the creator. You're the God that originated this whole thing. You're the apostle of my faith. You're the architect and the design of my future. I trust in you. So I got the bill, wrote the check, took a picture of it, sent it to my contractor, said, I would like for you, sir, to pay half of this. I think that's fair. At least pay half. 2 weeks later, no response. 3 weeks later, no response. So I took the picture of it again, and I put it in the regular mail, snail mail, mailed it to his house. 2 weeks later, no response. 3 weeks later, no response. So I'm out worshiping and praying the other day, and I said, Lord, I just want to surrender this to you. I don't want you to know that contractor is not my source. You're my source. I'm going to trust you and believe in you. He goes, you're going to do that? I said, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. He said, then bless that man. I said, God, you're... So I said, what would you like me to do, Father? And he said, what I want you to do is, just, you know, his wife's been going through some problems and she's had cancer and all. I said, yes, Lord, I've been praying for her. And he goes, yeah, I know you've been praying for her. And we were having this conversation. He said, so what I want you to do is I want you to get a nice gift basket together. And don't be cheap. Get a nice gift basket together. And I want you to take it to their house. I want you to knock on the door. I want you to let them know that you've been praying for her healing and their prosperity. And I want you to release it. But don't do it unless you can release it, unless you can trust me, because I'm the architect of your life. And if you'll follow my plan, you're going to, you're in the for now, but the then is coming. And you're going to like then. But if you don't get it right for now, then is not going to be very good to you. So guess what I got to do this week? I got to go back, buy me a big gift basket or something. I mean, I kind of want to put razor blades in the apples, you know. I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never do that. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to knock on their door and I'm going to bless them, because the architect, the apostle, the finisher of my faith is not people who abuse me or people who abandon me or take advantage of me, but the architect and the finisher of my faith is Jesus. And he sees the end from the beginning. Amen? So I'm going to trust in him. I want you to do the same. I want you to trust in God no matter what you're going through right now. And I just want to say this to you as I close. Those of you that are experiencing a dark moment, an obscure present, or you're sensing God is pruning, or you're experiencing unknown and painful situations, this message was for you. It's really for all of us, because we'll all have been there. And if right now everything is beautiful for you, hold on there, buddy. Come on. Because it does not say if the rain falls and if the floodwaters rise. It says when the rain falls and when. I'm not prophesying negativity to you. I'm just letting you know that God's got you no matter what happens. But I want to pray for you a special prayer of hope. Hope inspired. Hope invested. Hope imparted. That is the expectation of good that's coming in your then, because you're going through. So Father, I just want to thank you for every person in this room right now who is in that place of uncertainty, darkness, pain. Father, not wondering why, can't figure out the purpose, don't understand how. Lord, it's a very painful place, but we put our trust in you. And today, they're going to change their perspective. They're going to, through their lens of their tear, they're going to see the finished product. They're going to see, Father, through the lens of it is finished, that you are a faithful God and that you will meet them at the point of their need. Father, whatever you have to tear out, whether it's my kitchen sink, whether, oh God, it's my finances, whatever it is, Father, I just believe that no matter what's happening, that when you put it back together again, it's going to work right. And so, God, I trust you, and I bless the folks, God, today who are experiencing this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, at the end of the service, we're going to have people here that will be available to pray with you. Jan and her team are coming in just a moment. And they'll believe God with you. They'll explain salvation to you. And if you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not talking about going to church. Going to church is a whole lot different than giving your life to Jesus. But we can pray with you, and we want to do that. That would be a privilege for us to do. And also, if you have a physical need, a financial need, let us encourage you and pray for you. But if you'll allow me, before I close today, to be just a little goofy, I want to take a picture with you all. Okay, can I do a selfie? Time?